Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 this evening, and I do hope I find you all well. It was a week for the drying and plenty of clotheslines were packed up while we were getting some sunshine at long last. And not only was it a week for washing, but it was definitely a week for 99s. So I hope some of you got those 99s. And I want to give a special mention to Tomás in Kevin Barry's shop here in Tralee. I was in during the week for work purposes and I got a lovely 99 from Tomás. He pulls the best ones in Tralee by all accounts. So if you're craving a 99 now this evening and you're in the car having a listen here to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry, I say head on over to Kevin Barry's and you won't be disappointed, and make sure you ask for the sprinkles as well. It's always nice to have the finishing touch. I also went for a walk to Benna Beach on Wednesday, and it was a lovely way to put away the phone and bring a ball and just kick it for an hour. Let me tell you, getting that vitamin C, that fresh air and a fresh sea air does wonders, and I slept like a log that night then. So let me know what you got up to during the sunshine. It got dull towards the end of the week, but look, we won't complain about that as well. We do need a break from time to time. You can let me know by texting or WhatsApping me on 083 300 3300, or you can email myself kflynn@radiokerry.ie here this evening. Now, on tonight's show, we are heading to Douai and I got to meet the wonderful Nora Rellin. Nora was an actor with Listowel Drama Group and Listowel's Players, a director, entertainer, broadcaster here in Radio Kerry, writer, nurse, social worker, co-founder of Listowel Players in 1959, Writers Week in 1971, and St John's Theatres and Arts Centre in 1987. She's been a member in so many things, but I got to talk to Nora over the week, and I firstly asked Nora about her love for acting and drama for Travels Through a Kingdom this evening.
Well, as you see there, I was always acting.
Mm-hmm. What got you into that?
Acting. Well, I tell you now, my cousins from Tralee would come out with a nice house in Kiloglan for, ourselves, and from the railway. And they'd come out for a bit of a holiday or something, and or come with their parents, and, you know, there was something like that. And I would put little plays together, actually. Mm. They reminded me of that, yes. And things like, could men and true in this house who dwell to a stranger book. Anyway, all those kind of relationships with hard times in Ireland and difficulties and wars and things like that. And I would, and there was one particular. What was the one about the boy that comes in full of faith for a rest in this place, and to find that it is one of these awful places where you could be nabbed and killed, you know. Mm. But and I used to have them, the cousins would be, whoever it was, one or two maybe, kneeling down, and they'd be getting these lessons in acting.
So how old were you when you were doing that?
I was very young, really, but I was always fascinated by the written word. And my parents would encourage me, I suppose, really, yes. My father would he'd bring in the newspaper, and he'd say, "Now read the leading article," because it's very good English in that. And mind your Irish as well, of course. But you would be very young, you'd get these instructions, and to read that was there, it would be part of the, like there is at the moment even, I think there is a space for the Moses article.
And your father was a teacher?
He started off as teaching in Tralee.
You know, did he teach you in school?
He taught in Tralee.
Yeah, but were you one of his pupils at any point?
No, I wasn't really. Mm. No. And then we had, my parents had another child, Seamus, and he's, excuse me, there was a big gap between It was about a good few years. And Seamus arrived, and of course, he was. So I was old enough to look after him. And mm-hmm. I was delighted with myself. So he lives over now in East Cork. It's a very big place over there with his Lovely. Families and everything.
And how old were ye when ye moved to Killorglin?
How old was I? That's a good question. Well, the war was... There's a war on. I come from the war times, really. But then... quickly, that was gone, thank goodness, as I didn't. But I can still, it still resonates.
It was still an eerie time.
That was the war.
Yeah.
And my parents were anxious to get back to Kerry from Dublin. They were on his job was a good one there on the railway. And but they thought, oh gosh, we'd like to be kind of like home, and we can go to Glenbangor to seas and all these places. So that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And local scene in Killorglin now at that time, for shall we say, there were no big factories or anything like that. There was one there. I remember being told. That was a pity that the toffee factory was gone when I came. But there was a fish place then, down by the side of the river. When you cross the river there, you know the lovely river and the...
Yes.
Crossing there, yeah.
Beautiful.
And, it's great.
You must have loved Killorglin.
Yes, we did love Killorglin, yeah. And we had a lovely dog, but he got killed. But anyway, my older brothers then were, of course, they were on their own business, and two of those became priests, actually, and they're dead now. And, Lord to mercy. And there's another took up business, maybe three, myself four, and there's somebody else, five. But anyway, my parents were very fair-minded, really, you know, for us to do what we were keen on and get going, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So a couple of went to Dublin and things like that. But also, it was, I remember, still a war zone, really. Anyway... I remember when I was busy with, shall we say, what was happening to other people in their place. And then I was at school in Killorglin, and different schools, really, Mardwell and Tralee. But... I was away at school. I remember going to a school, and it was so awful that I wrote to my brother in Maynooth, where he was a student, to take me out of it.
What did he respond?
So he did. Huh?
Did he respond?
He told my parents then, Nora is unhappy there, take her out of it. So I was lucky to have nice people looking after me like that.
And I see as well that you set up Writers' Week in the Stool.
Oh, well, yes, and there was a bit of kerfuffle about that. But, Writers' Week... started with a chap, but he had been born in the store. I tell you, I used to be asked to write things about things that were happening anywhere, as well as whatever I was doing. I seemed to be always doing other bits of business. And it was usually that would be in the newspaper or something that would kind of come up in... Well, we had stations because we had, mm-hmm. not the ones I grew up, but the ones that were built, stations and all that kind of stuff. And there were a lot of different kind of people, really, and very interesting in a way, you know, you yeah. think. There was a little more time, I suppose, a little more time, but still quick enough to pick things up. And... as I can remember, just getting off this thing now, I remember my father taking me, say, we were going to Dublin, back on the train again, and we were up in the train, and he said, I'd show you now where the new engine is in. And there were these beautiful red engines, and they all had names. Mm. Yeah, and they'd be parked in the station in Dublin. And... all those kind of things were great colour. There was colour everywhere. And I can remember my parents actually. they said they were going to London to see Noel Coward had a show on in London. In the West End there. And they got somebody to look after our meals and things, to come in, big range in the house and all that. And that and they would give us strict instructions what we were to do. And they would give people, and this girl would come in, and the boys, look at her, and she'd say, no, you have to eat this, you have to eat that. But I was quite young that time, really. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they would go off at warnings. Not very often, but it was great to see. And my father would say, come on, I'll show you now, television is starting on the other place there in near Limerick, I think, or someplace. And he would say, they'd gone on their honeymoon to an island there near us, on the right hand side, well, on the sea there really, and there was a lot of interesting things happening, but it was still post war, and there wasn't a whole lot of anything available at a very early start. And World War One, when I think of it now, I can remember being taken to where the television had just started, some part of London. Look, Nora, you know, that's about that height. And but they were very... yeah, interested in that, reading, writing, and arithmetic, like.
And we are speaking with Nora Relihan on tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. We'll be back with Nora in a moment, but if you want to get in touch, send us a text or WhatsApp on 083 300 3300, or email myself, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back with Nora in Douai after this break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kai Flynn, with you on the airways until 7 this evening. Now we are heading back to Douai to speak to Nora Relihan, and I asked Nora how Writers' Week in the Stole came about.
Yes, I was a qualified nurse at this stage, and there was Dr. Johnny Walsh in the Stole, who was related to my husband, actually, but he was interested in things, you know, and I got an idea that, oh yes, he asked me to come to or to be at a meeting that was there, The Irish were great like that now for these meetings to see what was happening, how we can do better, and it has started to be taking things in hand, while not a great deal of, but it was difficult with money and all that kind of stuff for people to, you know. And so anyway, I brought up something that things should be happening. You know, so anyway, and he supported me.
Lovely.
Because he was taking charge of this country, place really, just giving them a, you know, well, telling them how he felt. They wanted a bit of, most people living in the country that time, I noticed, they were interested in how to survive. You know, it was, and I can remember that, and even though I was quite young, I remember the difficulties that always stayed with me.
And did you ever expect Writers' Week to continue for so long as it is?
Well, I suppose I could never believe that people wouldn't want something. You have to have great faith in your madness, your own queerness. So, but I put it to. Well, I remember meeting this guy on the street, actually outside the hotel in the Stowell Arms, and I was saying it wouldn't have been nice if we had some more books around. Oh, the races were on, the Stowell races, and there were books. But I said, oh, they're all behind windows, and why can't we have books, more books in that? And I think. And he kind of adopted that idea, though he let me there, kind of, you know, he didn't really follow through. But but anyway, he was helpful. I suppose I thought that, well, we were supposed to be helped at this and that. And my father had taught, oh no, he had taught... the piano. I did a bit of that. I was taught that they bought a piano for me, but I didn't give it as much time as I should, I'm afraid. But I loved it, you know. But I was very taken up with words. Yeah. And my parents were very good on words, interested. So we, you know, that was a big help. And I didn't think of him much or otherwise, except I said to this guy then, who was a local, who had been bought there, yeah, I said, wouldn't it be nice? So he said, yes, and why not? So then there were a couple of more people, like Brian McMahon, and he was a teacher, and he was, you've heard of him, and he wrote, and he was very well got in America, for instance, and that's a thing, on holiday time. And missing, and then there were a couple of more. I have them written down here, names.
And what was your relationship with John B like?
John B?
Yeah.
Oh, John B and myself became very good friends, yeah. How I met him was, I was asked to take the hospital in the store. Not very big one, and it was there, and they wanted someone to stand in for the nurse that was there, so I did it anyway. And there was something brought in. There were funny things brought in from time to time about women working and not working and this kind of stuff, you know. And so I mean, well, I had got my training in London. My parents thought that if I got trained by nuns, you know, that I'd be the same. They didn't want it. they thought that, you know, So they had taken me to London a good few times and on boats and on the rivers and things like that. And I know they loved our own country, but they thought, well, you can have this for yourself sometime, maybe, or whatever.
So was it the hospital you met John B. at?
Oh, John B., yes. John B., one day I was doing, yes, relief work in the hospital in the zone, and this fellow arrived on a bike. And he said he was, from the chemist. Yeah, the big chemist in the stall. And he had the replenishments for what was getting naked in the bottles and the, you know, things like that. So he arrived to fill things up again. They were treated well, carefully now, but still and all, with a great deal of ease, you know.
It must have been lovely to have someone like him to have the same love for writing as you.
Someone, well, he was very much his own person, and he had there were a good few in the family, and his mother was they lived on a street. And was very, you know, she was very nice. And but John B., anyway, when he came, he said to me, oh, yes, he took two papers out of his pocket that he had written. And he knew that I liked languages kind of things and could speak anyway, I suppose, I was looking after patients.
And Nora, you also worked in Radio Kerry one time.
Oh, I did indeed. I was one of the very first people to set it off.
What was it like?
In Radio Kerry, it was great, really, because it was a beginning. You know, I mean, there wasn't a Radio Kerry before the one that Dan started at that time. I was doing a lot of things, really, you know, and between plays and all that stuff. And he wanted to get me to do a programme on Radio Kerry. And so I said, no, I haven't time. I just have no time now. I love it and it's great and it's everything, but I can't. With too much to do. And he said, you can and you're going to. I got to follow you until you do it. Because I'm starting off the place next week or something like that. He said, here, look, I'll have a script here for you. And you can... I bring a cup of water as well, and you're going to have that massage.
Were you nervous?
Was I nervous? Well, I had been on other stages, I suppose, to do, do bits and pieces. I was nervous enough to be presenting up a weekly programme, kind of, because I was very busy with work and everything. So anyway, I did, and I got a very good following.
Rightly so.
So anyway, he was vastly relieved anyway, I think, that he had someone to do this.
Nora, thank you so much for talking to me and taking the time to talk to me. You're a lovely person, and there's so many people that would love to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. And that was Nora Relihan speaking to me here on Travels Through a Kingdom. What a wonderful lady. And she was recently awarded the Kerry Association and Dublin Arts Award in recognition of her outstanding contribution to the arts. So well done, Nora. And thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story. As you heard there at the beginning of the programme, Nora's been involved in many, many things. And like she was saying in her interview as well, broadcaster here with the hospital requests on Radio Kerry. So if you can remember any of Nora's programmes, or if you have any memories, do send them in. You can get in touch by texting or WhatsApping us on 083 300 3300. She was a lovely lady, and if you check out our Facebook page as well, you'll see her wonderful smile. I popped up a photo there last evening to let you know what was coming up on the show, and you can see Nora's wonderful smile there. And if you would like to listen back to this interview, it will be available on the Radio Kerry website fairly shortly, but first we must take a break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. Kaya with you until 7 this evening. Now it's time to revisit the archive of Sean Hurdy's Kerrywide.
I left by Longford in 78 and moved to Tarbuck. Yes. But I still, that's where you go to school and where you make your young friends. Today you always feel attached to. And even though my parents came from Tarbuck, I don't feel as comfortable in Tarbuck as I do in Ballylongford. That's the strange thing about it. But anyway, I come back here then to the Rambling House on last Saturday night of the month.
Yes.
And we have a session here. Now, it is held in the kitchen next door, which you were in a while ago, because it is more cosy in there, and we're around the table and there isn't a whole pile of room. Yes. But anyway, I wrote a little poem to commemorate what's going on there, kind of, you know.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of them here that are here at the moment are mentioned and some that aren't. But I called it Kitty's Kitchen. Oh, Kitty, right. Yeah, Kitty's
yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Here's a toast to the latest creations that are now spreading over our land. I refer to the Rambling House sessions, where the crack and the music is grand. Today you'll find young and old gathered, with a smattering of those in between, all with a love of our culture and music, of our dances and wild shanakees. But of all the great sessions I've savoured, from the Shannon way out to the field, the wonderful me takes the biscuit is in Valley, where the Lion River flows down to Saline. There Kitty rules over her kitchen, like a chef that you'd see on TV. There with Mamie, Teresa and Lizzie beside her, she serves up her soup about tea. Anita then sets the show rolling as she strums on her trusty guitar and sings songs of freedom and moments by songwriters from near and afar. Musty then picks up his accordion while Paddy unbags his baron, and the great music sets us all at our tapping, because sadly there's no room for dancing at all. But Mamie was never found wanting. To the great music she has to respond, and in 2 ticks she is up on the table while the rest of us cheer her along. Come Fitzgerald then grabs our attention as he tells the way things used to be, as he struggled alone and unaided to cremate his great friend Sam McGee. Then Dan Kimmiston tells a few stories of the ballet that he used to know before he was exiled to Tarbuck in a swap for the badge years ago. And Helen, the lass from Killarney, sings of friendship in 1916, and when she puts on her shiny black berry, Morris M shouts 3 cheers for the Queen. Nookie keeps us amused with his yarns, picked up down the ears in the bar, and a frown from our jovial MC Massey redirects when he feels that he's going too far. We enjoy our friends from that part of the valley, with their recitations, music and song, where the talents of Keenan of Drury in a new generation lives on. And I'm sure from their stage up in heaven, music greats from our old parish hall, the likes of Minehan, Mulvihill and McGibbon are saying, keep it going, 'twas folks like us started it all. You know?
Thank you, Donald, and you mentioned there in one of the lines, 3 cheers of the Queen. Let's get that one straightened out.
There's a couple of little things in that poem, you say, Mamie and the dancing up on the table. She's a very good step dancer, and the music sets her going, and that's good. The next one then is there's my nickname in Bally was Dan Chemist, and Tom Kelly is Tom Brad. And Tom came back to Ballylongford to open the butcher stall at about the same time as I went to Tarbuck, so it was a swap.
Right.
And there's always a debate as to who did the better, whether Ballylongford gained by getting Tom Kelly or whether Tarbuck did better by getting me. So the jury is out on that one.
Yeah.
And then Moss, then there's a little bit of a dig in that. Moss is a Sinn Féin supporter, you see, and he wouldn't be too happy with the Queen of England.
Yeah.
So that's why he shouts, you see, 3 cheers. So there's a little dig in that as well. But all in good fun, Sean.
I thought you were referring to the Queen of Port Road.
Oh, the Queen. Oh, yeah, well, that fits in well as also, like, you know. And of course, you can see the berry, and there's a special flower on the side of it for today. So
yes, Ellen.
Met Donald in 1956, and you know what he gave me going to America? A fountain pen to keep writing, but I lost it.
The very first American she saw, Sean, she stopped writing, and that was the end of it.
And this comes out decades afterwards.
Yeah.
On the airwaves of Radio Kerry. I want to say a big thank you also to Katie McKelly, get down here. Katie, thank you for having us. You got the nice group together for us.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I'm glad we had a nice morning now.
And of course, Breda Inn right up there, who we spoke to at the start of the programme as well. All of you are doing a wonderful job here in the centre. Long may it continue. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Sean. Thanks a lot. Yeah, thank you.
And that programme was recorded on the 18th of March this year. Now back to 2004, and still in Ballylongford. There we met on that occasion many people, including Michael Finucane of Finucane's Bar. And he had a history, a little of it, of the building itself.
This pub was built in 1806 by the O'Rahilly's grandfather, the 1916 leader that we shot at above mostly. They owned it until 1898, and old Mike Finucane bought it off the O'Rahilly. He married an American and she thought Bally was too quiet for her, so they moved to Dublin. So he got involved in the Easter Rising and the rest is history. But we're here since 1898 and they were here 92 years. So I say it's one of the oldest pubs around. It says trading since then as a business. And you can see those mills down there along the river. See the store?
Oh, yes, yeah.
No, back here.
Yeah.
All along the river there. The stuff, the feeding stuff was brought into Sally and Pier by boat. And then Bart just brought it up the river here. And 20 stone bags, and the men had to take it up the loft up a ladder and 20 stone bags that time. They were trading in fish and oysters from the bay, so we brought back the oysters again, and they were sent into the store. The salmon was salted and put in barrels, and the oysters were packed, and they were taken by horse's cart into the railway in the store and sent on to the Dublin markets. In Dublin the following morning after leaving Ballylongford, which was nearly as fast as it is today.
The local Leicester here, is that very popular?
It is very popular. We have a big festival here every September, the weekend before the store races, and we have oyster swallowing competitions and various kiddies events and raff races and fancy dress, and we have an oyster banquet in the hall, which is a big success.
And I suppose it brings a lot of the farmer locals home.
Well, it brings
again
the people home. Well, they're home from the store last weekend, yeah, so it's a good time to have it because they're already in the area and they're home. So we kick it off the race week with the oysters.
And that was Michael Finucane there from 2004. Staying with the same year in Finucane's Bar, we're going to have a song now that we recorded there then from Tommy Sheehy.
How sweet it is to wander by the shore's lovely stream and to hear the birds coo 'neath the morning sunbeams, where the thrush and the robin their soft notes entwine on the banks of the shore that flows down by Moonkind. Flow on, lovely river, flow gently along, by the water so sweet sounds the lark's merry song. On her green banks I'll wander, where first I did join with you, lovely Molly, the rose of Moonkind. Oh, Molly, dear Molly, it breaks my fond heart to know that we two forever must part. But I'll think of you, Molly, when the sun and moon shines on the banks of the shore that flows down by Moonkind. Flow on, lovely river, flow gently along, by the water so sweet sounds the lark's merry song. On her green banks I'll wander, where first I...
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerry White here on Travels Through a Kingdom this Sunday evening. That's always it for the show, but I want to say a huge thank you to Nora Frelihan for coming on the show and sharing her beautiful story with us here this evening. Our interview will be podcast as soon as I was saying, so keep an eye out on the radiokerry.ie or on Spotify and just search Travels Through a Kingdom. And if you are listening back to any of the show podcasts, you can let me know. Just tag any of our social media Radio Kerry accounts and let me know that you're listening as well. I'd like to see who's listening. It's lovely to listen to like a podcast or listen back on a walk, in the car, and share it with a friend or anything like that. So do let me know. In the meantime, if you'd like to come on and chat with me or have any programme suggestions, you can email myself, kflynn@radiokerry.ie, at any point throughout the week. There's so many parts of Kerry I've yet to take to show too, so you can tell me all about it. Stay with us here on Radio Kerry as Elaine is on the way with 7 days, and then Sean Riley takes us through the night with Irish favourites. So until next Sunday, from me, Kaya Flynn, take care of yourself and bye-bye.